Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Devotees for Lives and Friends, and tonight we'll be discussing last week of Days of Our Lives. And don't forget to follow us daily on the blog at devotedaysoflives.blogspot.com. I need to get I'm going to have to purchase a domain name, so it'd be a lot easier for me to say, but devotedaysoflives.blogspot.com. Or if you seriously go to Google and just Google Diva of Dole or Diva of Days of Our Lives, it'll pop up too. It's pretty easy to find. Yep, and a lot of people discovered the blog this week, so thank you. We had a lot of nice comments this week on stuff. It's cool. Follow us on, you can follow me on Twitter. My name is Carrie. You can follow me on at Diva of Dole, and on Facebook we have a friend page, which is Diva Days, and we have a fan page, which is Diva Days of Lives. And you get to find all the links to the blog, Twitter, and Facebook all here on Blog Talk Radio on my profile page, and you can also follow us on Blog Talk Radio. So that's everything. And before we get started, it's been a tradition over a few months to pimp our favorite Twitter peeps at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka. And I think Bob was on Twitter today, so I'm going to have to go harass him a little bit.
There you go. That's always fun.
Yes. So Bob Lapel, we just love him. And tonight we have Anna here.
Hello.
And with Miss Marianne.
Hello.
Hello. And this week, yesterday, was I got to interview Peggy McKay, who plays Caroline Brady on the show. And I was when I got announced, I was so excited. I think she is just absolutely an amazing actress. And you will find that interview here on my Blog Talk Radio page. It's the featured show. It's about 15 minutes long, so it won't take up too much of your time. And she's really feisty. Yeah, so I love that.
Like Caroline.
That's fantastic. Yeah, she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She had a lot of interesting things to say, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to it or not, but Caroline will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Okay. That was coming.
Yeah,
so she confirmed that, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, she wasn't really leaking anything because the spoilers were already out.
Yeah.
So that really wasn't a leak. But
is she excited about the storyline?
Yeah, she is. She's very excited.
That would be she's such a great actress, so that's going to be great.
Oh, I told her flat out she's going to get nominated again for an Emmy. She's been nominated 5 times.
Wow.
Two daytime, one for supporting and one for lead actress for Caroline. And she has been nominated 3 times for primetime Emmys, and she won one. Yeah, and so I asked her about that. I said, what was it like winning the primetime Emmy? And she said it was horrible. And why? I forgot the story, but when she told me the story started ringing the bell, I must have read about it in a magazine back when it happened. They stuck her category, which was best guest spot, basically. Basically, she did one episode. In the technical awards, so her category wasn't on the televised broadcast. I know. And she was so upset about it, she actually put herself in her evening gown with her Emmy and took a picture of it and put an ad out in the paper about her Emmy win. She was so mad that category isn't on the broadcast show. She said, because then, she said, the choreographers were telling everybody, oh, the viewers want to watch dancing, they don't want to watch the actual awards, which, that's news to me, I didn't know that. So she said she fought for years to get that category on the show, and it is now, it's been on the show for a while, and I told her, that's actually a coveted Emmy. A lot of A-list actors will do a television series just to try to get that Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get the guest. Yeah, it's happened to get the guest spot Emmy. Yeah, so it's actually.
Well, great for her for fighting for that.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Fighting to have it aired, yeah.
Yeah, so she told me about that, and I also did a blog on her getting the key of the city to Mount Airy, North Carolina. So that's also on the blog. I did that this past week sometime. And, yeah, it's they're celebrating Mayberry Days. Yes, the Andy Griffith Show.
Mm-hmm.
So and Peggy was only in one episode, but it's considered to be the best episode ever of Andy Griffith. It was his high school reunion. And she was an old, yeah, and she played his old flame. They said that was
mm-hmm.
I didn't see this episode, so I'm just going with what she said. It was a big deal because Andy never had a love interest on that show. So, and she said they loved that episode so much that people were saying the dialogue like they had it memorized.
Oh, how funny! But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was something else. And she said, everybody loved Caroline Brady there too. And she said it was just an absolutely wonderful experience. So,
that's
good. Yeah, so you guys have to listen to the interview. It's like a
great interview.
Yeah, when it comes to Primetime Emmy that she won, she's actually really feisty about it. And you can tell she's still mad because she went through hell. to get that category on the on broadcast TV. And I asked her about Peter Reckle, and she has respect for him that he's leaving to pursue his dreams, really, and she wishes him the best. And we talked about Caroline and Victor, but I wasn't sure this week. She kind of made some snarky comments about Maggie. If that was the Alzheimer's talking, because I was telling her the story of my grandmother and how she suffered through it. And it's not just that you start losing your memory. It progressively gets worse. You start losing your temper really bad.
Right.
And then that's what happened to my grandmother. She was just so out of control that she had to be hospitalized. And she was confined to a wheelchair at that point, but she broke her foot, and no physical therapist would work with her because she hit one. So she hit one of the therapists.
What? Wait, what? Say that again?
My grandmother hit a physical therapist who tried to help teach her to walk again after breaking her foot.
Uh-huh.
So that was pretty much the last straw, and that's why she was put into a nursing home, because she wasn't able to. She wasn't able to walk, and she was living with my uncle, and obviously he couldn't take care of her. He had to work. He couldn't, you know, bathe her or do any of that stuff. So, and then after that, she started just losing her memory. She started forgetting everybody, and until the end, at the end, she just kind of stopped talking. And then she died of pneumonia, which is the leading cause of death for Alzheimer's, because their body just won't cough up the fluid. So they kind of end up, in a way, kind of suffocating to death. My father and his brothers, they chose to take her off a respirator. But she was 87 at that point. It's not like she was going to get better, and her mind was already gone. So, you know, what are you going to
do?
Mm-hmm. So that was pretty tough. Mm-hmm. So I was telling her about that. Because to me, I would be really offended if they screwed up the storyline.
Yeah.
Let's
hope Dave gets that right, because that's a big problem, you know, prevalent in a lot of families anymore.
It affects a lot of people, and it runs in families, which is scary, too, and thank God my dad's okay, and he has one surviving brother. Actually, my uncle died before my grandmother did, and she didn't know. She didn't know he was dead. she forgot who he was. She, after a while, she just remembered he was the guy bringing her food. Because he would bring her Polish. She wouldn't eat the cafeteria food, so he would bring her Polish food. He'd bring her, like, stuffed peppers and stuff like that. So that he was the last one she remembered, and he died of a heart attack 9 months before she did. So, and so far, thank God, everybody else is okay. I don't think my grandmother was the oldest of all of her siblings, and she was the last one to die, and I don't think any of her siblings had it either. So hopefully it's just an isolated case. It was just her. But, we were joking about last week, but, yeah, I mean, we all have had relatives who call us by the wrong name all the time. But none of them had Alzheimer's. I don't, you know, so just her doing it all of a sudden, I mean, you knew it meant something, but, you know, just because you've done that, you know, you screw up names. I don't think everybody should be running to the doctor and getting checked out because of that. But, I mean, yeah, but she did say, oh, I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. She did say that Caroline does resent Maggie and Victor because she said Victor refused to change for her and Victor changed for Maggie.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she does still carry a torch for Victor. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if her side nasty comments toward Maggie are genuine, that's not the Alzheimer's. That's really Caroline speaking.
Oh.
Yeah, and
cool.
we did talk about my favorite, one of my favorite all-time Dave storylines, which is the discovery of Caroline Victor's affair and that Beau was a kid.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the best storylines ever. I mean, mm-hmm. I would debate that with anybody. I mean, and I told her, I mean, it's 20 years later, and still it's hard to think of anything better than that since then. And though still is a curiosity, they didn't change that. Thank God.
Right.
I think it should stay that way. So, but, yeah, so that's the interview. So you guys want to check it out, check it out here. Yeah, it was a thrill. I really enjoyed talking to her. She was really
cool. She's really sweet. I've seen her at some Dave's events, and she's really sweet.
Yeah.
Neat lady.
Oh, and she said this storyline's not wrapping up soon, and she's been reassured that they're not writing her off the show.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. My grandmother had Alzheimer's for 10 years. I mean, this is not something you get, and you're dead 3 months later.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it affects your brain. It's not really affecting your body that much. But I think eventually make you bedridden, though. But I think that's what happened with President Reagan. So I was telling her about that. But he lived to be in his 90s. And he had it for quite a while. I think he had Alzheimer's for like 15 years. He had it a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, you just kind of like slowly waste away. So it's not something that, you know, we're not going to be standing at Caroline's funeral in 3 months. So,
we know Peggy's going to knock it out of the ballpark, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's what I told her. I said, you're going to get another Emmy nomination, you know, count on it. So, so I told her, you were great with that stroke storyline.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't really a storyline, and we talked about I always wanted to know, how did she feel about Caroline switching the paternity results on baby Parker. And, you know, some actors would say, oh, that was stupid. I mean, yeah, Caroline would never saw that. No, she was okay with it. She's like, she didn't want to. She was. She's like, she didn't want a baby being raised by Kiriakis. So, yeah, she switched them. She wasn't very good at it, and she got caught. So... Mm-hmm. So it really was and the last thing before I forget, she's really into animals and animal rescue. So if you go to her website, peggymckay.com, and she spells McKay, M-C-C-A-Y. It's not the normal way you spell McKay. And her big charity is the Elephant Sanctuary. There's a sanctuary in Tennessee where they take retired circus elephants and zoo elephants. And she said there were two elephants that were reunited after they were in the circus 30 years beforehand, and she said they remembered each other.
Oh,
I know. And they greeted each other. Oh, they saw each other.
Yeah.
But seriously,
awesome.
How cool is that? Yeah, so she's pictures of herself.
Oh, that gave me chills. That gave me chills.
I know. Isn't that
sweet?
Yeah,
I've heard of stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, yeah, you could. She has pictures of herself at the elephant sanctuary. I don't think she has the sanctuary actually linked to those. You might have to Google that, but it's the one in Tennessee because there's other ones she doesn't support. So make sure you find the one in Tennessee. And I told her I'd pass the word along, so make sure you check it out if you're interested in making a donation or seeing what they do if you want to go visit and see the elephants. So, yeah, it was, yeah. Like I said, she was one of my favorite interviews. That was really fun. Really enjoyed that one. So, like I said, it's only 15 minutes of your time. So you can check it out here. And it's getting some nice amount of hits, too, so I'm glad everybody's interested in listening to her. So, well, I just babbled on for 15 minutes. So when you guys go ahead and talk, I need a break. Go for it.
Oh, okay, so we're going to...
Hey,
what's going on in
next?
Okay. What are we going to talk about on the show?
Do we have to?
Let's see. Do we have to? Let's see. Who? Well, okay. I saw it was, well, maybe we could go start from today and go forward or whatever, but because today's just fresher in my mind. The whole thing with Nicole, another heart-wrenching miscarriage, and of course, you know, Ari knocked it out of the park like she did before the first time, and just when she was sitting there saying, like, why again? Why is this happening to me again?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying.
Red.
I'm thinking to the writers. She's probably saying that to the writers. Why are you doing this to me again, or why are you doing this to Nicole? And like we talked, I think Carrie said about it before, you know, before the show started. Maybe that's we're all hoping it's a Demira plot.
Yeah.
That, she had said about the all of a sudden, like, I think it was Jennifer and Kayla got called to the hospital. I guess the power went out and the computers went down.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same time that the phonogram.
Right.
You know, maybe there's something wrong there, or I don't
know.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Even that doctor, that substitute doctor, just seemed very, I don't know, maybe Demira-like. I don't know, just not very...
Kind of cold. Not very
kind of
cold.
Yes, like Dr. Rolfe, you know? Like, that would be easy, Dr. Rolfe doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she left at the end, it was kind of like, I'm really sorry. You know, it's like...
Yeah, but she just, she wasn't very compassionate or anything. No, just very cold, I thought. So, like, maybe she's a Demira plant or something.
And she didn't want Nicole to mess with the ultrasound. Like, she wanted to do it again, and she took the thing out of her hand and was like, no, you know. So she didn't want her to see it. She didn't want it, you know. And Nicole.
Yes,
Nicole,
and that's the thing, you didn't want her to see it.
Isn't Nicole claiming that she can still feel the heartbeat or something? Or like.
Yeah, yeah.
She's kind of like saying she swears she still can feel it.
They're
going to
set her up probably and take the bait, you know, take the baby. I can see that happening.
That would be
that
the only
possible.
Thing. That would make it a great storyline if that's the truth. Yeah, that actually
and maybe
happened.
EJ, or maybe Stefano is behind this, you know, because, and then did you see, well, of course, you know, we got Rafe and their Safe back together again, and EJ saw that
happy,
going down.
Happy
and,
joy, not.
Yes, another boring, I just, when they're together, I just, like,
there was
when you
hotness,
saw EJ and Sammy talking,
there was more
hotness
in that scene where EJ and Sammy were talking than there was
exactly.
with Rafe's reunion.
Yes, there was. More hotness in just that little bit of that, in that argument and, you know, disagreement between the two of them, And then when EJ went back to his desk and he was just like, you know, really mad, throwing things around. And, and then the phone went off and it was Stefano calling him. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I guess Stefano's on his way back, I'm thinking. So
I'm
thinking, well, maybe Stefano set up this whole thing with Nicole.
It cracked me up, though. Didn't it say Stefano Demira, and then there's a picture of him? I was just funny when you see it's like, I don't know.
Instead of father. You think on EJ's cell phone,
it
shouldn't say Stefano Demira.
It would have been hilarious. It would have been hilarious if they'd put father on there, like
father.
The way he pronounces it.
Yeah. Sure, that's what Tony just said, father.
Name, your mom or dad's name on there? You put mom or dad, you know?
Mom or dad, right, yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. And I mean, and who puts a posed picture from the NBC studios on the phone? Like, you know,
Faith.
I can think of, you know, a lot of, like, you know, think of a lot of reasons why you maybe would want to put a picture of, the, of your contacts on there, but your parents, probably, well, I mean, maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, but do people do that? I never bother with that, you know, mm-hmm. attaching a picture to the contact. I don't know. Anyway, I know we're being
oh,
totally
I've done that.
About this. Oh, I never really yeah. thought about it before, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just thought that was funny. But, yeah, I mean, at least we know Stefano's back.
Yeah, he's on his way back.
Of course, Kristen comes, too.
Yeah.
Not
well.
Looking forward to that at all. But anyway, whatever.
Yeah. And another thing was,
time.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't like how EJ threw Chad under the bus. I didn't like. I mean,
yeah.
That is EJ, but oh, he went a little step too far throwing his own brother and basically using Chad. And Chad had, I think, every right to be upset and calling him out on it. But that's EJ. So I thought that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, I was going to say with Nicole, I don't know if you guys saw the spoilers, when Nicole, on Monday, I don't know how she managed to find him, but she grabs a scalpel out of a hospital, and then she gets in a fight with Jennifer, and she falls down the stairs. So if Nicole's baby was alive, you know, falls down the stairs, and then she blames that is the reason why the baby was dead, and she tells people Jennifer pushed her down the stairs.
Okay. Because nobody else knows that, yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So another, drive Jennifer and Daniel apart, which is a good thing, but.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather them just be over.
They're trying to shove them down our throat again, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He basically told her to take a hike, but. I don't know.
Well, what bothered me about the doctor, too, I missed the first 15 minutes of the show, was that she didn't say, hey, can I call someone for you? You know, can
yeah,
I come drive you home?
Yes, yes. Where's the father or where's, you know, anybody,
yeah.
any family yeah. member, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange. Mm-hmm.
So, yep. So, yeah, sorry, I just wanted to get back to that. But, that's what, one thing that was odd. But when I had my ultrasound with my second son, it was the one in the middle. That's when you usually find out with a girl or a boy, it's when you're about halfway through your pregnancy. And I had a similar situation that the ultrasound tech would not let me look at him. And my mother was there, my husband was there, and our oldest son was there. So we were all looking at him, and I'm like, what the hell? But the first time I had it done with my first son, I got to watch the whole time. And then this woman wouldn't let me watch. And then she got out of the room. She left her for a minute. And my husband and my mom said, we think it's a boy. So she came back, and then she finally let me look at him a little bit. And it was, I couldn't feel him that much at that point. I don't know why at that moment I couldn't feel him, but he was just like having a ball. He was like flipping around, flopping around, and he was like dancing in there. And then all of a sudden you see him exhale, and he just kind of like swings down like in a hammock. He's just like and he just lays there. And she asked, well, do you want to know what it is? And my mom and my husband said, no, it's a boy. And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's a boy. But I didn't see it because she wouldn't let me watch for some reason in the beginning. But for a split second, he showed his junk to everybody. And it was so obvious, everybody knew it was a boy. It was just for a split second, but everybody saw it, I guess. So I'm kind of disappointed I didn't get to see that. But, so, you know, she should have, even if the baby was dead, she still should have let her see, get the baby, you know, at least for a few minutes. So, but, I don't know, maybe that doesn't sound like that standard to not let a woman see the baby. The baby's dead, that's fishy. But like you said, then she falls down the stairs this week, so, you know, I don't... it could be just this weird prank on Nicole, and she ends up killing her own baby, which is pretty sick and cruel. I can't imagine writers would come up with something like that. But
that would be awful.
Oh, yeah. My God. Can you imagine? I mean, oh, my goodness.
Like, if this were a Demira plot, then that would screw the plot up because they would be planning
Yeah, that
to
doesn't. Yeah, then that's not going to work. Yeah.
That sucks.
But
yeah.
You can still fall down the set. You know, people have fallen, and the baby's still okay. I mean, that's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Hmm. Yeah, the whole I just thought the whole rape and blackmail thing. Do you guys think that all that wrapped up way too quickly?
Oh
yeah. Yeah, what you mean with EJ and that, and how the, Nick and Chad made that agreement with Justin.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That was too convenient for Gabby. She got off way too easy.
Yeah.
Way too easy. That's what I don't like. The smugness of the of Rafe and his sister doing something wrong. But that was she basically did what a Demira did: kidnapped somebody and got away with it. Or, she didn't kidnap, but she did know. I mean, she didn't know Andrew was going to do it, but when she did, she didn't do anything to help Melanie. So,
mm-hmm.
So she was like an accessory. So,
yeah,
she got way too easy.
It just seemed like it was so that Safe Reuniting is just so rushed. Because I mean, she just broke up with Lucas, maybe late August.
So annoying. Her going from man to man like that. So annoying.
Well, yeah. In one course of a day in Salem, she would kind of switch between kissing EJ and kissing Rafe and kissing EJ again. And it seemed like she was like, okay, Rafe doesn't want me, so I'll just go with EJ. Within a couple of hours, that's just not normal. That's just weird.
Bad writing. Basically.
Because if you're going to have a storyline where EJ's blackmailing Ray, but usually the way that goes is it gets stretched out. EJ wins Sammy's heart, and then they're about ready to get married or whatever, and then the whole blackmail thing gets blown up. That's usually what happens. You know, it doesn't get resolved within a week. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I was kind of enjoying it, Rafe being blackmailed by EJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now he's, and that whole part of where they were looking for each other, looking in the pub and Rafe, and then their eyes met, and I was like, oh, gag me. I mean, that was just, it just wasn't true to, I mean, I could care less, didn't get me all excited and go, Now, switch back, I know not everybody's John and Marlena fans, but switch back to the pier scene, the most famous, if you're really a John and Marlena fan, that. I mean, even if maybe if you're not, I don't know if it was the way it was acted or because you really cared. At that point, it was long, drawn-out story. I mean, and you real those characters had chemistry. And, boy, when they saw each other on the pier after all, when thinking, she was dead and that was nowhere near that Rafe and Sammy thing. But there's no chemistry there at all, I don't think.
Well, it's funny when they're trying to find each other on purpose, they can't find each other. But they're trying to stay away from each other, they bump into each other all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, big deal. Sammy EJ got to a coffee house the other. That was it. That's as far as the whole thing went.
Their
the PDA blackmail.
Was disgusting, mauling each other at the Horton Town Square. Ugh.
Yeah. Angela, I see you on hold. I'll get you on maybe in 10 minutes or so. Just make sure she knows I see her. So, then we got, let's talk about Caroline since I brought her up. Yeah, so, like we were saying, she's switching up the names of her kids, and I think she calls one of the kids Sean's name, and it was kind of odd. She actually saw the fight between Jennifer and Nicole at the town square, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was kind of awkward, too. So, and she seemed pretty happy but was going to quit. That's another thing I don't understand about Beau. If Beau's not going to go back to the SB Salem Police Department, why didn't he take the early retirement? Why just resign? Because that doesn't make any sense. You're leaving all your pension money.
I thought he didn't he take the retirement or did he?
I think he just resigned. because I thought Roman was trying to talk him into at least taking the early retirement, and he refused. And the whole thing is those talk about retiring and quitting to his older brother, who probably should take the early
retirement. I think he's way past that age. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, Josh Taylor, I believe.
Yeah, that was never brought up. Yeah, why isn't Roman taking, why aren't you taking the early retirement, Roman? Why aren't you being the one to leave?
Yeah, Josh is, I believe, is 70 years old. So he. I mean, he looks younger than 70, but, there's pension money. He qualified for Social Security. Why stay on the police force for at his age? And Ghost has a small child to support. So, that the whole thing seemed really awkward to me. I understand it's because Peter Reckles leaving the show that those quitting.
Right.
But here's his older brother. They're probably, and they're all talking about, I have to lay off these two young kids instead. And Roman, I probably could keep everybody if you took their retirement yourself. I thought that was awkward. And we actually saw Ciara this week too.
Mm-hmm.
She was at the Kyriakos mansion, and
they're still the same age. They haven't divorced her yet.
Yes.
Thank goodness.
That's true. And Maggie got promoted from Aunt Maggie to Grandma Maggie.
Grandma Maggie.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes. She's married to Victor. So that's always interesting. Does Ciara refer to Julie as her grandmother or her aunt? You guys know?
I don't know.
Who? Julie. I don't know. I've never, even Hope doesn't, her
Hope
sister.
Hope's
and aunt.
Their sister.
Your sister and your stepmother. Don't figure.
Yeah.
Not to mind, you know what?
Yeah, Aunt Julie, I don't know, Grandma, or I don't know, they never really, I don't know, she's never really said, I don't think, I've never really heard her say, refer to Julie that way, Aunt Julie
Sarah
or Grandma.
Chat room. Yeah, Sarah's saying that she calls her Grandma Julie.
Grandma Julie, okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
So there you go. Yeah. So
don't confuse the kid too much. That whole family line is confusing anyway.
I know. Yes. I mean, the poor girl's in there. Okay, this person's my aunt and my grandmother, and this person's my aunt and my grandmother.
Right. Yes. My great aunt.
She doesn't even have the most complicated family tree in the family, on the show.
Will does. Will's one of the worst, one of the most complicated, I think.
Oh, I think Brady. I think Brady has the most
Brady?
Complicated.
Yeah, there you go.
Brady, yeah. Oh, yeah, with the Demiras and the Bradys, yeah.
And the Kyriakoses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. He has high self-free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's everything but a Horton at this point.
Yeah, that we know. That we know
of.
Yeah,
I was going to say that we know of,
So that was, I was just wondering about that. So we do have Kristen returning end of this week. And I know you guys weren't looking forward to it. I wasn't either, but I think the show's so bad now that I'm looking forward to
maybe
it.
Maybe another Demira will shake things up, maybe. I don't know, if it has to be her.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you right here.
No, I said another Demira is returning, maybe shakes things up, even if it has to be her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they have in. Is it going to be the John and Marlena angle, or why is she even coming back? That's what I'm curious. What brings her back, and what's she gonna do?
The spoilers are saying that Stefano wants her home because Chad and EJ are still disowned him. So he's hoping that bringing her back would kind of gel them all together, which I can't really see that working.
They don't even know her.
I don't think EJ... I have to think, how is EJ going to react to her? Here's this woman who stole him from his mother and passed him off as John's son.
Mm-hmm.
So, he shouldn't like crisp. You know what I mean?
And she's not a blood demira. I thought Stefano had a problem with blood demiras.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I can't get either. That's no, you know, doesn't
well,
make sense.
Maybe that's why he adopted it. It was like an insurance policy in cases all of his blood children disowned him. Or, well, it was his case, almost all of his blood
or
children
die
dead.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
They're all dead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, and then there's a spoiler with actually, I think I have that promo. So if you want to see the Kristen DeMira promo, I have it on the blog too. She, I think it's she has phone calls with Stefano, and then somehow she ends up in the Horton cabin, and for some reason John's there too, and they wake up in bed together, and Marlena sees it.
Oh, are you kidding? They're not going there. Are they really going there? Oh, no.
They are really going there.
Going there. We're going back. Oh. Okay, so now we'll just bring Tony in, and, you know, you'll be right back where we were, you know.
Yeah, we'll be back to 1990.
Yeah, bring blind Tony back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And see them in bed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
93, yeah. 93,
94,
yeah.
Yeah, so, but Marlena is on to Kristen, so Kristen and John... And basically, the entire town doesn't trust Kristen, but from what I read from one of Eileen's interviews that she gave, and hopefully I get a chance to interview her too. I'm assuming she's going to be on the, I'll get 10 minutes with her soon. I can't imagine Days won't have her on the, doing the press day. But, oh shit, I forgot what I was going to say.
Nothing against the actress. I'm just not.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I did, I wasn't watching the show. I was taking a 10-15 year break from Days when she was on the show during that era. So I'm not familiar with, I mean, I know of the character. I've seen clips at times, but, you know, I'm not personally invested or excited about it. And I just feel like, just like with every other person they bring back, just like they did with poor Blake, who's doing a great job as Nick.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, they, you know, when they did it with Molly Burnett when she first came on, and they do it with everybody. I mean, it's like whether they're new or returning, they saturate the show with it, and it's like they need to bring it in, bring it big bang, but then integrate them as part of the stories and not make them the only story in town. And so I'm just going by past, you know, the prior MO of the Days writers that, you know, we're going to see Kristen every day. And I'm, like, not excited about it because it's not a character I'm invested in. And I, frankly, there are plenty of other Demiras I'd rather see on screen before that character. But, you know, I mean, I guess I'll try to have an open mind about it, but I'm just not – I just feel like the show's going to be taken up by that character's return. And then we're not going to see some of the other people that we want to see. So that's kind of my feeling on it. I mean, it's not the actress's fault, and I'm not blaming her, but it's just that's usually what happens with Days is they go 24/7 when they have a new character or a return.
Yeah. Oh, and the spoiler says, too, Kristen found Jesus. So and she's trying to convince everybody she found Jesus. Yeah. So she's reformed. She's behaved. She found the church.
What's
again.
That? What, Carrie?
Kristen's going to tell everybody she's back with the church.
Back with what?
So, the church. God. Jesus.
Find Jesus.
I know. Oh,
she's a born-again Christian, maybe? I don't know.
Was that part of the story before?
Well,
she
meaning she's not going to be a bad girl anymore. Is that what she's
right,
saying?
Right. She was, what's the word I'm looking for? She was a goody two-shoes in the very beginning. She was a social worker. Yeah,
she's
okay,
a social worker
okay.
when she first came into town and met John. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'm tracking with you now. See, I didn't know that part of the history.
Then she became obsessed with John
about.
And, yeah, plotted.
Yeah,
and
then she was obsessed with John and his penis, and that was the end of Chris's being a good girl. Yes.
Okay.
So she was engaged to Tony and banging John at the same time. Then she ended up being married to Tony and banging John.
That right
at the
there
same
is
time.
Enough reason that the character
banging
crazy,
John and
though.
Tony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and then she tried to get pregnant with John's baby, and it wasn't working out. And then the whole thing with Susan, and she took the baby to baby EJ, and yeah.
Yep. Locked Marlena in the basement, didn't she do that? Was that Susan? No, that was.
But see, there
Kristen?
You go.
That was Kristen.
Anybody who's playing that many characters at one time, you think they're not going to overuse her when she, you know. Like,
she's
no, again,
saying, oh, she was on all the time back in the day, yeah, with
well,
all
yeah,
these different characters.
Happen
there was
again.
Five of them
I mean,
at one time.
It's going to happen again.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
that's why
yeah,
I'm already
saying,
dreading.
Yeah, but they're saying right now she hasn't played Susan yet. It's only been Kristen.
Okay.
Yeah, we've
so,
only
been. I would hope they'd put Susan to rest. Because I just can't imagine. It's cringeworthy to think of her and EJ in a scene together. I mean, it could be funny. And it might
mm-hmm.
be fun for the fans,
yeah,
but Susan Bates
mm-hmm.
is so annoying. It's like fingernails on a chalkboard for me. So
yeah,
I
me
just,
too.
I don't find the comic relief. Like, Calliope, yes, comic relief, tons
yes.
of it. Susan Bates, fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, but Susan's got a lot of fans, though, too. A lot of people do want to see Susan.
Oh, I'm sure, but I just, from the scenes that I have seen, I remember, you know, I tune in periodically when I wasn't watching the show, so I was on vacation or something, I kind of turn it on and see. And I have vivid memories of tuning in and seeing Susan Banks, not really knowing what was going on, and just going, what the hell is that? You know, what has days come to?
Me.
I mean, I guess it could be entertaining. I guess I should have more of an open mind. I'm just bracing myself for not seeing my favorites for the next 3 months, you know, because while they bring this character in. So that's how I'm looking at it. And I wish they would have brought Teo back, you know, as Tony. But,
he could be on the screen every day. I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, see, that would be great. But, you know, I think most people would enjoy that. But, you know, it's like, so, okay, I guess I'll reserve judgment. I'll try not to be cranky pants about it, but I'm not.
Oh, Marianne, do you want to talk about what Teo's going to be up to this week?
Yeah, he's starting to film his new independent movie about Queen Esther. That starts this week, and I think it's like it goes to the 21st. So, yeah, we'll have to keep you up to date on that you know, as soon as we find out some stuff. But, yeah, he starts on Monday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I understand he's
and
got
yeah, he has
beard,
a full
long
beard
hair.
And long hair. Yeah, yes. So, real curious to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Can't wait to see pictures of that.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture in my mind what he looks like, but yeah. Seems excited about it, so.
Oh,
that's good.
Well, he'll be great. He'll be great. You know, he loves history and all that so much anyway. I'm sure he's going to really
Yeah, it's the perfect role for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a bad guy, you know, the villain. He's the villain in the
bad guy.
Story, so.
Yay. Okay, I'm going to bring Angela and see what she had to say. Angela, is that you?
Hey.
Hey.
How are you ladies tonight?
Wonderful.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited to hear more about Teo's film. I think Jen Lilly is going to be in that movie, too, because she had tweeted something last week, and actually tweeted she and Teo back to see, because she's cast, I guess, as a supporting lead. So she's not playing Esther, but she's playing, I don't know, maybe she's playing the Queen, I don't know. Or
who
maybe
is
probably,
who is it?
Jen Lilly.
Oh, okay.
I don't know her. Oh, okay.
She took the place of Kirsten Storms on General Hospital for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to find. Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay.
But I keep wanting her to be Belle and then to ring Belle back on the show. I think she would be really good. But she's a great actress, and she's she has some role. Probably she's probably just one of the girls that they are, you know, that Esther's competing with, I guess, to be the next queen. But I think they're in the same film, so that's kind of interesting. And I'm anxious to see what Teo looks like, too, with the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking back to what you were saying earlier about, Peggy McKay, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the interview, but I can't wait to listen to it because I do. I got to meet her in 2010 at the Francis Reed luncheon, brunch, memorial lunch, and just really, really a sweet person, and just, you know, has just an amazing career. So I think, but yeah, I remember looking at, I can't remember now why I was doing this, but for some reason I was looking back at some things. It may have been even through that Maureen Russell book with the history on Dave. But, yeah, actually, Caroline had done some kind of way-out things. I mean, besides just having the affair with Victor, and there was other things that she had done. And I've kind of forgotten now what they were. I need to go back and look again so I can refresh my memory. But yeah, there are quite a few quirky things that Caroline got into over the years. So, yeah, because I was the first one to be saying that she would never have been able to go in and change paternity tests and all that kind of stuff. But she does have kind of a quirky aspect to her character. Another thing, when you're talking about Eileen Davidson coming on, I saw the preview. Thanks for posting that. You know, I think she's a great actress. I like her. I'm also kind of in the Anna camp. I can't see what they're going to do with Susan Banks and EJ. It'll be interesting to see. They say that, you know, they are going to do something, and so I guess we'll see what it is. I just can't imagine that they're bringing Kristen on the big guns here. Supposedly this has been one of the things that really helps the show. To do a John and Marlena and Kristen story.
I'm
just worried about the show, period. And
you don't think that's going to sell seats in the theater?
I grew up watching Days. I've watched Days for 40 years. I know y'all have heard me preach this song before. It's kind of like the child that trudges through the snow going to school. But I've been watching the show since I was 7. And I just can't, I don't know. I grew up loving Marlena. And I can hardly watch them on the screen now. I mean, I know that sounds horrible because, again, Deidre Hall is an iconic figure of the show. And I respect that. And she's a very nice person, I'm sure. But I don't know. This whole return of John and Marlena has really been a complete failure. I mean, all the way around.
Yeah.
Whether it's Alamania story or what, or the embezzlement thing. And to get a crew, and again, I know it sounds ageist, and I don't mean for it to, because I love Maggie and Victor, and I like for them to have stories for every age. But to have a triangle of folks that are in their late 50s and 60s, you know, when you're hurting in your demographic, I don't know. I guess, like you said, we'll see. I had hoped that maybe they would have, you know, even though it sounded bizarre, you know, even if she, I thought it made more sense if she was having some type of affair with Brady to kind of get back at on and Marlena, even though that was kind of bizarre, and I want Eric Martzoff to have a good story. He deserves it, and I'm not sure if that would be that great of a story.
That's not going to be that great of a story.
Okay.
Brady and Kay would be better.
I was going to say, I want him to have a great story too, but I think it would have been, I think it'd be, like I've been saying for a long time, Kate and Brady, yes. Kristen and Brady,
I read some stuff this week, and I have no idea if it could just be somebody's fantasy. I have no idea if it's real or not, that there was discussion about, and I know they've had several scenes now with Jennifer and Brady. Ridiculously plausible. I don't know. This is totally implausible to me, but, you know, somebody went through and explained, you know, the scenario. And I was just going, I just don't get it because, you know, Brady, you know, Jennifer is, you know, was around when Brady was born, and, you know, it's so bizarre.
Oh.
So I hope that that's not the case either. Like I said, I want Eric Martzoff to have a good story, so I really, you know, I hate to say that it would be better for him to be with Kristen than Jennifer, but honestly, if I had that, I think I would pick Kristen over Jennifer. They just ruined Jennifer for me. Right now, I'm just really I'm really searching in those scenes to just get through them because I'm just
I'm just waiting for her to show some emotion again about Jack. You know, I saw some scenes on Friday where she and Daniel, she's more worried about Daniel and how she's going to, how should she react to Daniel when she sees him at the hospital. There's no scenes of her, you know, mourning Jack or missing him or these poignant moments where she something reminds her of him. And so, I mean, I just, as a Jack and Jennifer fan, that just grates on my everlasting nerves.
Well, it's so much of it has just been ruined that I honestly, you know, I just, you know, Melissa Reed, you know, has been an icon on the show. I love Jennifer Rose. I mean, and, but, you know, several people said, you know, this whole last return has just not been the Jennifer Rose that we're familiar with. And certainly this very last, you know, year or so, I don't even know what to say, especially now. So I don't enjoy it at all, and I can't, and it just irritates me beyond to see she and Daniel. I mean, I don't understand. I think Sean Christian, I've seen Sean Christian in, you know, that Hansen's movie. I've seen him in quite a, he's done a good many TV movies, and I've seen him in a lot of different things, and you still continue to see a lot of his films. And, yeah, he is a good actor, and I think, you know, he's, you know, and I think Teo has said in several interviews, you know, when there were people were just asking him general questions, he's had some positive things to say about Sean Christian as an actor. I'm not saying, I don't think it's that Sean Christian's not a good actor. I don't think that he's not a handsome man. He is. But it has never worked with him, with anyone hardly. Maybe with Chloe a little bit, because I know that Dan Lowe had a fairly big fan base, and I know they're hoping that that's what's going to come about in January when Chloe returns. But I don't know. I mean, I'm tired, very tired of, you know, just seeing Daniel with Jennifer or being perplexed between, you know, he's not the father of that baby, now that the baby's dead anyway. You know, it's just the whole thing is so contrived. The whole problem is so contrived that, you know, I just want to fast forward and go on. I'm not interested in seeing Jennifer now at all, and I'm not interested in seeing him. And it just is irritating to me. So I don't know. I feel bad because, again, I wanted to support the show. I've been watching it forever, but. You know, that whole story really grates on my nerves a lot. And I'm more optimistic about the Kristen story simply because it'll be something a little bit different. I think that's kind of what Carrie was saying. You know, this was the point where anything that is new, even if it's, you know, a recycle of another story, at least it'll be somebody different to look at and different, you know, different dialogue because that person hasn't been there for a while. I don't know. I'm just so disappointed. It's just really frustrating. So we'll see. I hope that there was also an article, talking about who originally on Young and the Restless had been responsible for bringing Eileen Davidson over in the role of Ashley. And I know that she was saying that she was Eileen was quoted in the article saying that she really felt like Maria Arena Bell had been kind of central to bringing her on the show. But Josh Griffith, who is now the new, you know, is the head writer over there, and he came in after this trade, whatever this Sony team trade, Eileen over today. But he was saying that, no, he was the one that really had pushed to have Eileen on Young and the Restless, and he's very disappointed that now she's not there.
Who was it that was pushing for that?
Josh Griffith, the head writer now on Young and the Restless.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. Okay.
And,
yeah, they went through a head writer change over in Young and the Restless.
Yeah, they got rid of Maria Arena Bell, and all of the changes to Eileen's contract which happened under Maria. And now she's gone.
Gotcha.
Josh there, and he's saying, I was the original person that brought Eileen on as Ashley, and I really am just disappointed that she's not on the canvas right now. We sure would like to have her back. So I thought that was kind of interesting, because he really, I think his quote, he kind of went out there a little bit, I think, on it. So, that will be interesting to see. I guess at least there's some, you know, I guess Eileen Davidson's a great actress, and I think that any story right now will be better than some that we've got. So, or I'll say that right now anyway. I may have the right to say it's worse when it comes on the air, but I don't, hopefully it won't be. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think Carrie really kind of covered it as far as a whole bunch of questions about what will EJ's reaction be to Kristen. Like I said, James Scott, I think, you know, can pull almost anything. So, I'm sure it'll be fine. But I don't know quite how they go with that in that direction either. I watched Friday's episode today on the computer, and I thought that Ariane Zucker did a very good job. I am very upset about that whole storyline. We talked about that last week. But I do think she did a great job. And now she's going to go, kind of cuckoo, I guess, is the next step. But I guess that as far as just the emotional scenes about the baby, I mean, it was really upsetting. It was just very sad.
Yeah, oh, and getting out the outfits that she was going to have broke my heart.
Yeah.
They just better keep this kid alive somehow with the Demiras or whatever. They just better do that because I'm going to be so pissed if they don't.
Well, I spent to say much about this, but I was thinking about it earlier. I don't know. I was talking to somebody about days this week. I can't remember who it was. And we were talking about some of these, stories that are just, over the top. I think y'all were talking, how the whole situation with Sammy and Rafe seemed to be kind of hurried and over the top today. And then the situation with Jennifer and Daniel, which just irritates me, but, that was, clearly ridiculous. And so all these different things that are just way over. And, if let's say, God forbid, that this happens, if days would not be renewed, if they can give these actresses and actors, a big, emotional stories, whether it's emotion contrived or emotion whatever, if people just are seeing a snippet of something, they can't really tell the whole context around the story. But they're really trying to, help them to, have some important themes to use on their reels going out into the world to look for other work. Mm-hmm. So, I know that sounds really good, but I did think about that because, some of these stories just seem, are just so out there that and just so emotional and so forth. And I think about back when they brought over what's the actress that played Ava? She was on General Hospital.
Tamara Braun.
Uh-huh. And Tamara's a great actress, and I liked her a lot on General Hospital as Carly. When they actually did the story that she won the Best Supporting Actress for on Days, they were locked up in that bedroom for like 3 months. it was Hope, Bo, and Ava, and I guess they're in. What? Y'all remember that story?
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah. Hope it's wore the same thing. The Hope wore the same outfit for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. In terminal, the same thing, and they were locked up in that room, and Tamara was extremely emotional. And watching that entire storyline, I just didn't like it at all. But then when they just showed the snippets of it and her Emmy reel, it looked very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. I mean, I don't know what the situation is at Days, and like I said, hopefully some Providence will step in soon, and they'll start doing really well. But I don't know. It's such a thought this week of thinking, if they're doing all these over the top things to get, it does help the actors themselves to have, some emotional scenes that are recent to put on, as they move on to something else, if that's the case. But I was going to ask. And hush up here because I've been rambling, but I was going to ask y'all what you thought as far as about the all the big comments from Corday, and I don't think we talked about this last week, but if we did, remind me because I don't remember it, about, you know, just all this big deal that, oh, they're staying in the same studio.
Yeah.
Haven't they sold that studio? Nobody else within DC.
No, they're staying at NBC, yeah.
But I know they're staying at NBC. I'm saying that no
one
shows...
That was very prematurely announced when everyone was saying they were moving to the other place. That was not, you know, that was not the case. But anyway. Yeah, interesting. So Corday came out with an announcement or something recently?
Oh, it was, I think that's what, you know, Set Off or Digest or some... Soap magazine was saying, yeah, but big announcements coming on days, and, you know, everybody was going, well, what kind of big announcement is it going to be? And then, you know, basically when they announced, they talked about the 12,000th episode filming, and then they had a quote from Corday just saying that, you know, the actors are staying put, which of course was the headline, the tease, and then it was just that they're staying put in the Burbank studios there.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, what, you know, it was, you know, kind of a anticlimactic, but it was strange because from what I'm understanding, all of the other shows that are filmed on that lot are moving, that are continuing on into next season.
Oh, well.
And so I don't know if that is the case, then that sounds kind of murky, you know, that Days of Stone, and we don't know. But
I'm just impressed that actually Corday was allowed to speak because he hasn't been talking publicly much in the last year.
No, none of them are.
They must have opened up that broom closet and let him out for a little bit so that he could speak, and then they probably shoved him back in there.
Or stuffed that bologna sandwich in his mouth, you know.
Well, because remember he used to do those wonderful spring, summer, fall, winter previews that basically pulled, you know, sucked the air out of the tires for the rest of the next 3 months.
Yeah.
Each one would start out with Sandy and Rafe unite, you know, the man she was always meant to be with. And the next quarter it's EJ and Sammy reunite, the man she was always meant to be with, you know. And so it just, I'm glad he doesn't do those anymore, at least from what I've seen.
Dave can't afford for them to do that anymore. I mean,
yeah. Remember that time when they let that poor actress go that played the first Ariana, and he's like, we cast it up or something. Was that the one? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was awful. That was cringeworthy. I was like, oh, Kenny, mean.
I don't know. I guess I'm glad they celebrate the 12,000th episode, and we'll, you know, get to see it, I guess, in January, whenever it is. But I mean,
I can't hear you, Angela. What? Said in January what?
I was just thinking they're filming right now, what, mid-January?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, there's
a wedding in January, too.
Mm.
They're filming a wedding. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right now. Yep.
A wedding.
So let me bring Sarah on. The poor girl's been on hold this whole time. I didn't know she wanted on. Hey, Sarah. What's up?
Hi.
Sarah. Our magic correspondent.
Yes.
A.K.A. the innocent one.
Ha ha. Ha ha. Hi, Sarah.
I'm sorry. Anybody who watches as many telenovelas as you do is not innocent. I'm just not going to buy it.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up telenovelas because I was going to bring them up.
How did I know that? I am, like, really intuitive. No, I didn't know that. That's funny.
Well, I almost think that Dave should get some help from telenovelas. Because, you know, see how good they're doing. Why can't they just, you know, ask for help?
Good idea.
But I know I've talked to other people about this, and I think people agree with me there.
You mean like in the way of how they have like
how they
certain
do.
Defined storyline period, you know, like
that,
like
that,
story arcs, or is that what you're talking about, or
yeah,
the romance,
of,
or what? Because I don't watch them, I know of them.
Yeah,
I don't watch
them either. So.
And the fact that most of them don't film so far ahead, it would
help. Oh, yeah,
too.
There you go.
Yeah, well, that's
there
a big
go. I think that's
Dave,
one of Dave's
Dave.
Biggest problems. And
mm-hmm.
I used to be a proponent of it, but now they're taping so far in advance, it's just ridiculous.
I do see a little bit of magic, even though I'm kind of behind on a couple episodes.
Oh, I'm behind, too. So I saw yesterday's, but... I didn't see the rest of the week. I haven't seen the rest of the week yet. So Magic was on?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And that's so cute!
And the good scene begins. Oh, well, I haven't seen it. So what happened? What scenes did they do? Or what was going on?
Well, she came home and he had like brunch all set up for her. He was trying to cheer her up because Melanie left.
Mm-hmm. Aww. I'll have to be sure to watch that.
You need to watch it.
Of course. I just haven't watched it yet. But now that I know that Magic's on, I'll definitely be watching. Because, you know, I'm obligated because of you. No, I'm kidding. That's sweet that he did that.
Yeah,
such a softy. And poor Caroline, he never did that for her. Even when
no.
they were on the...
All right, I'm done.
What? You waited on hold for an hour? And that was it?
Yeah.
An hour?
I forgot to push the button.
Holy cow.
That's okay. I've got lots of rollover minutes, so it's fine.
Well, let's hear. What's your thoughts on Nicole?
Oh,
and the baby.
That's really sad, but, you know, I would hope that the plot, so, you know, Stefano
yeah.
found out and stuff. That's what I really would hope. I just... kind of wish that Nicole would get over her obsession for Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Please. Yes.
One
of the things I was thinking earlier is, you know how EJ had that scene with Sammy where he said something about, you know, I lied to you because I want you back. Rafe lied to you. Something about, he lied to you about another man's child.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how she said it, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that might fall in line with his little plot to take Nicole's baby. Because you know how EJ talks out of both sides of his mouth. I love him as much as I do. I love him, but he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's so, like, absolutely hypocritical, like all the characters are. But it's
yeah.
like, you know, he's trying to sound like he's on some moral high ground as opposed to Rafe. And not that I'm a Rafe defender, no offense, but I'm, you know. But you know, I'm not trying to race past right now because Sarah's on the phone. But I just you know, he's trying to put himself on a higher moral ground than Rafe. But meanwhile, what if he is really plotting to steal Nicole's baby that's also his? Because you know he's determined to prove that that kid is his.
Right.
And
right.
I'm thinking too, you know, most of the time, you know, no pregnancy or scrump session goes unaccounted for in some form or fashion for later use
mm-hmm.
on this show. That's why I keep thinking Gabby's going to end up pregnant. But so I'm thinking, you know, the last time Nicole lost a baby, it ended up being this huge baby switch story and everything. So
right.
I'm thinking maybe this will trigger another umbrella story that will have some legs for a while. And it would be kind of karmic justice in a way, even though, of course, I'm not advocating her baby being stolen or anything, and I certainly don't want it to be dead. I'm really pretty upset with Days right now, if that's really the route they're going. But it is sort of like that. In EJ's mind, he could certainly see how he could, you know, well, you know, she stole Sydney, you know. So I don't know. Who knows? But I don't know if that makes any sense. But it just it seems like it has all the makings of a good you know, soapy plot, soapy story. But if they just kill the baby so that she can move on with Eric Brady, I'm going to be really pissed.
You know, I thought when EJ was mentioning to her about, it's his baby, I thought he was trying to set up Sammy to ask Rafe to see if Rafe would lie to her again. It didn't even occur to me that he was using Sammy to find out whether or not it is his baby. To me, I thought it was just all... Because I think Rafe does lie again, and it says it's his. But I don't know, you know, because that's around the same time as the miscarriage, so I'm not sure.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, there's been all this buildup for EJ plotting against Nicole secretly and also using Sammy, you know, all of that. You know, for her to just lose the baby, that seems awfully anticlimactic for a story they've been building for a while. So,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's so much story if she does have the baby. All the conflict.
Yeah. There's way more story if she does, if the baby lives. Even if she doesn't know it lives, than if it dies.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Unless this is the last thing of Dina's. I mean, the last thing of Mardar's.
Unless
Tomlin's killing off. That's the other thing, because he seems to have a checklist. So I don't know.
Right.
I mean, the kid could be a victim of Mardar writing. So you know.
Oh, I have to mention this. I thought that was a good idea. Jennifer said in the chat room that, what about a Kristen and Lucas pairing? That'd be interesting. I mean, come on. Lucas needs somebody.
Well, he does.
He needs
someone.
Then he's desperate. Yeah, he needs someone.
He needs someone to love. Give Lucas some love. I thought it was an original idea.
Do you think, may I have Lisa, am I trying to thought what I was going to say? Now I really have forgotten it. Maybe I'll think of it again. I'm sorry. It was something before Lucas, and what were we talking about?
Nicole and the baby.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't remember.
There's still more storyline.
Yeah, you're the one who was talking.
Star writer. That's pitiful. I'm so sorry. Mardar, yeah, if it was something in the Mardar, you know, outline, wouldn't she have lost the baby during the day's after?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
to me, that's
true,
the other reason.
Yeah, you think that's when she would have lost it, yeah, because I thought that's what they were going to do.
Have a high-risk pregnancy and have a building fall on you and then everything is fine, and then,
All I can
3 weeks
say
before
is
the
baby's
born, it just dies. You know,
all
I guess
can
it
say
had
is Tomlin
happened,
will redeem himself. He'll redeem himself in my eyes if he keeps this kid alive somehow and it becomes part of the story and eventually Nicole gets it back. He will have redeemed himself if he makes this a really good story.
Right.
And also if he puts Kate on more.
Yeah.
And brings Bill Horton back for Kate to be in a triangle with Stefano. There you go. Those three conditions.
That's what you
Tomlin
want.
Will be redeemed in my eyes. Just in case anyone's taking notes. I mean, they probably aren't, but I figure I'll just put it out there.
Yeah, another thing that just popped in my mind, when a baby dies that way into a pregnancy, Nicole said she only had 3 more weeks to go, so it was a full-term baby. But that's, even if she gave birth right then and there, it would not be considered to be premature, but they usually, I thought they did autopsies on, you know, they don't sit there and say, oh, well, it just died. I think that point, actually, you know, after the baby's removed, I think they could do an autopsy on it and see what happened, because you never know, maybe it was something genetic, you know, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, not giving the mother answers on what happened. That doesn't make much sense to me. That,
we have to, You know, we have to remember this is a woman that was told she couldn't have kids anymore, and she got pregnant twice.
Yeah, but after 37 weeks, the baby's super viable at this point because she survived outside the womb. And nothing traumatic happened to her. I mean, it could, you know, could be the cord got compressed and the baby.
I mean, it does happen.
Heard
it does happen.
Yeah, I knew somebody.
Oh, it does.
It does, that far along. The thing of it is, though, it's kind of pointless for her to have carried this kid and for us to all get attached to it and everything, and for her to be having fantasies about it being, you know, raised by Daniel and all
especially
this stuff.
Since she lost one before.
There's
it's
so
like,
much of an investment in this baby. And I just think that would be, like, story-wise, it would be totally anticlimactic. I mean, yes, it would be drama. It would be something for her Emmy reel. But, it wouldn't drive story. It drives story if the kid's still alive but she thinks it's dead. It doesn't drive story if it's dead. That's just my, opinion. I mean, other than her grieving process and, you know, maybe that triggers something, but I don't know. But I do think there's something to that. When it just clicked while we were talking earlier, picturing EJ being all holier than thou with, Sammy, you know, I lied to you for justifiable reasons, Rafe's lying to you because of XYZ reason. And then, you know, it's like he at the same time could be plotting to steal the steal back a baby that's his, that he knows is his, but steal it from the mother, you know, who's been lying to him for months, you know, about it being his kid, you know. So, I don't know. We'll see. But.
Yeah, I don't like how EJ's been not involved. And when he has been involved, it's been negative the entire time.
Well,
yeah, that's been really hard to watch.
He's been clearly plotting this whole time. So it's like that again would also end all the buildup to his plotting. You know, there's been all this investment in him planning all this stuff. So if the kid dies, it's like, what's the point, you know? Whereas, you know, right now he can kind of justify it that, okay, she was deliberately trying to keep, she's been lying and keeping his child from him, so she deserves it back. That's how Demira would look at it. But,
And this is like the second time he's been denied, or third time he didn't know a child was his.
The guy can't catch a break, you know? He can get all kinds of women to bear his children. He just can't let them, he just can't find one that's willing to let him raise them.
Well, that was kind of a step, though, too. He actually didn't raise any of his kids.
Right.
He didn't raise Tony. Strange besides his mother. She knew it wasn't Stephanie's kid the whole time. He didn't raise Lexi. He didn't raise Renee. He didn't really, I think Megan. He neglected Benji. Yeah, he didn't raise Benji because he discriminated him because he was deaf. It might be just Kristen and Peter might be the ones he actually did raise out of all his kids. I think I got them all, too. I don't think I forgot anybody. Did I forget anybody?
He raised Tony, didn't he?
It keeps changing, but I thought the story was his mother moved to Australia with Tony to get him away from Stefano.
That's what
But Stefano was not the father, and she knew that. And so she was afraid Stefano would kill him. So, but they keep changing that, though, saying Stefano did raise him. But, no, not really. But that's why, you know, Tony has an accent.
Well, they changed up.
He wasn't raised in Salem. He was raised in Sydney. So, Stefano was never raised a child, when you think about it. And we don't know what age he got Kristen and Peter either. You know, but I remember, but that was weird, too. I remember watching the clip where Kristen was talking about seeing Tony come driving around fancy cars, and he always had a bunch of girls with him. So, and there's a bit of an age between Tony and Kristen, so it's hard to tell. I guess Kristen would have been a minor at that point. So maybe Stefano did have her as a minor, but which makes sense, of course. Why would you adopt an adult? But, it wasn't from birth, though, obviously. But, I don't know. maybe with these flashbacks maybe coming out, maybe we'll figure out. But if it was, that's the only two children he actually raised, would be Kristen and Peter. Maybe we'll find out what happened to Peter, too. Maybe somebody will mention his name. I don't know. So, anything else? Or do we leave? Do we turn over all the stones?
I think. I'm trying to think what other storyline.
I don't know. Okay.
All
I guess
right. Kate's on Monday. It's a Kate Day Monday. Woohoo. Mark your calendars.
Oh,
doesn't
Kate
happen
Day.
Very often these days.
What were you saying? I didn't catch that.
It's a Kate Day Monday.
Mark your calendar. Put a reminder in your iPhone because it doesn't happen very often these days. Not that I'm bitter.
Maybe we'll see Kate and Stefano soon together a little bit. If he's coming back. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good. Okay. All right, then. So we'll watch Monday.
All right. Watch for Kate.
Okay.
All right. Take care, girls. Bye.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.